Vision. Choosing your destinations wisely and making them a reality requires good vision. The vision we're talking about here is the ability to project yourself beyond your current circumstances, to see yourself in the actualization of your potential, to dream. If you're sick, it's the ability to see yourself healthy. If you feel broken, it's the ability to see yourself whole. If you're in the dark, it's the ability to see yourself in the light. If you're dissatisfied with life, it's the ability to see yourself at peace. Your inner vision comes from the true, authentic, unmanipulated you. While your physical sight and the predictive abilities of your analytical mind may help you see a few steps ahead, your inner vision will take you further. And what you choose to focus your inner vision on is ultimately of much greater importance than the outward choices you make. What or who has shaped your vision? The vision we're talking about is always within you, but it can sometimes be tricky to access, especially if you're severely worn out or if you've been living under an imposing belief system. Someone who's exhausted and has perhaps been ill and medicated for a long time may barely have the energy to open their inner eyes. And for this reason, we'll remind you again of the value of the self-care practices outlined in Chapter 2. The better your physical and spiritual health, the easier it will be to see clearly. As for imposing beliefs, they may present a challenge even more formidable than physical and mental exhaustion. We can be deeply programmed by ourselves, our partner, our family, our community, our politics, our religion, and so on, as to how we should look, act, feel, and think, and what we should value. Our programming can override who and what we really are, so much so that our own authentic vision and expression are eclipsed. We lose sight of who we really are and what we really want. In certain forms of Eastern medicine, this is referred to as possession. It's not the head-spinning, green projectile vomit kind of possession. If you have that, we encourage you to put this book down immediately and find an exorcist, preferably one who makes house calls, because you don't want to go out in public like that. It's more simply a case of allowing something other than your soul to lead the way, or what Russian philosopher G.I. Gurdjieff would have explained as the personality obscuring the essence. Essence in man, Gurdjieff wrote, is what is his own. Personality in man is what is not his own. Not his own means what has come from outside, what he has learned or reflects. This is a bit different from the life essence, which we referred to as Jing or Ojas and described in Chapter 5. Gurdjieff goes on to explain that a small child has no personality yet. She is only essence. Her feelings, desires, and tastes are all her own. Later, her personality begins to grow through the intentional influences of others, through her imitation of what she sees, through her resistance against what she sees, and through her attempts to conceal from others what is her own or real. See your essence. As you proceed with identifying what you'd like to bring into your life, we invite you to tap into your own essence. What is real in you that can't be buried or concealed? Use your inner vision to see yourself as the most radiant expression of this potential. There's a feeling of rightness, of being home in yourself when you're in touch with your essence, even while there may also be some apprehension around the notion of sharing it with others.